Welcome to week two of STAT 222, Remote Asynchronous Instruction. I'm David Ragosa, and we're going to continue on through our course outline. Week one was, in some sense, a warm-up week. I think there's useful things to look at there, some many of you will have seen before. Week two, which is entitled on PDF page one, which is just the web page, Introduction to Data Analysis Methods for Assessing Individual Change for Collections of Growth Curves, Mixed Effects Models being the main statistical analysis tool. We'll look at both descriptive and inferential methods for understanding a collection of individual growth curves. So the logic week one was to look at a single individual growth curve, and those can have simple or more complicated forms. We'll concentrate on constant rate of change models today. That's the starting point. You can think of models as smoothing the data, the individual's data, and we'll look at how to understand, ask questions, and make inferences for the collection of growth curve data, often called longitudinal panel data, that is short time series on a collection of individuals, which you can think of often as a sample from a relevant population. So we are on page one of the file 20lect2.pdf. There's a system to the naming that you can download or flip through on your browser along with this audio companion. On page one is just the front page of the web page. What I've indicated here under text and resources is a couple of the sources we're drawing from for the week two content. The main one being item three, Doug Bates. Chapter four of his draft book does sleep study data, which is collection of straight line growth curves modeling. And he has a number of treatments of that, both in the book and in his slides. We'll be pulling from that. Adjunct sources are the Harvard Biostat book, item one, Laird, Ware, and Fitzmaurice. And they have a number of similar kinds of examples. You can see on their text website. And Singer and Willett we draw from some of their data examples also in weeks two and three, both in the exercises and in lecture. So that's where we are on page one of the lecture file, PDF file. Page two gets us to, towards the bottom, our actual content for this week, analysis of collections of growth curves, week two, bottom of PDF page two. And our lecture topics, in our first pass at collections of growth curves, and this won't be the last time we look at it, we're laying down kind of the basic toolkit to then look at more complicated examples, both experimental and observational studies and descriptive analyses. And we're going to, each of our two main data examples, we're going to look at from the point of view of both description and what I call smart first year student analyses, and that's the first things to do to get a feel for the data, and then the formal statistical analysis using LMER for straight line growth models or most others. And we have a growth modeling handout, especially page one is the overview page. You may want to download that and print it out, have in front of you. It kind of provides a cornerstone for what we do with the various examples. The two main class examples we're going to use is sleep study, which is a data frame in the LME4 package. That's something you got. We also have music for it, and we'll describe that in some detail. We have a number of resources for that, the original publications, etc. And then all the things we do, the class materials, part B, under first example, which is all the plots and analyses that we do in this first pass. The second example is another real data example. It's taken from North Carolina. It's state assessment data. Female, about 277, I think, mathematics, 8 years, zero through our first grade through eighth grade. We'll take a look. Female math with, importantly, an exogenous variable. That is, we have some background variables, so we can ask about correlates of change and things like that. Sleep study doesn't have that, and that'll get us to unconditional versus conditional models and all sorts of good things. So first example is bare bones, just observations on 18 truck drivers, and the second is a richer data set. Those are our two main examples, working through those at least as a first pass and showing the kinds of questions you can ask and what statistical analyses and summaries will give you is the object of today. We have one detail, and I'm now on page 3 of the PDF file, wide and long data sets. Wide is each subject is a row, long is each datum is a row. Long is the way the mixed model analysis programs, whether they be SAS or R, work from. Wide is convenient, especially when you have complete data, everybody measured at the same time. And going back and forth is a detail. We use the reshape package, melt and cast, which is the most general way of doing it. There's also a built-in reshape function, and the UCLA archive does that. I probably have an example of that in the sets. So that's one detail that those of you used to data manipulation will find easy to digest. Our learners can maybe set that aside as more than they want to take on right now. It's a good thing to know how to do. We'll give you, in any exam problems, the data you need usually. Let's take a look at that. I think that's true. But wide to long is one detail that's useful. So take a look at it when you have time. And third is a complicated example from real life work I did with SRI on some of the neuroscience people. Brain volume data. It's good not to have big empty spaces in your brain, but it happens when you age. There's a lot of interest in whether a lot of alcohol will accelerate that, but also gender differences and things like that. It's a complicated modeling problem. It's good to see that you can do more than the basics. It may be something we can walk through verbally, or it may take, it'll be an interesting exercise to see whether we can get to it. Okay, and then of course I always have much more linked background and resources. We have technical details and add-on packages, some of which we do in the spring quarter mixed effects models course, mini course, which is just on the computing. But the basics we'll go through here. There's also ways besides the Gaussian or setup that is used in LMER. And there's lots of other packages, and I just make mention of those. You don't have to use maximum likelihood. You can do things non-parametrically. You can fit smoothers rather than simple linear models. All sorts of things like that that are good to know exist but aren't going to be part of our core competencies. Continuing on page 3 of the PDF file, a lecture slides, we have the review questions, which supplement and some are incorporated into the lecture text. Basically what added these on as we went through the years of this course, and some of it got squeezed into lecture, some of it still stays as review questions, but the review questions are self-sustaining. So on to page 4, we have a couple of exercises, 4 of them, which are candidates for the take-home problem set. What I'll probably do is week 6 or so is post an interim version grabbing the problems I'm going to use from the material we've covered and then completing it as we go through the last parts of the course. to give you some head start so it's not backloaded too much. So that's page 4 of the PDF, the exercises. Page 5 gets us going at last, 10 minutes in. Stat 222, week 2. This is the front page of the handout, the growth modeling handout, and it's a good thing to have with you. It charts our course. We're going to look at each of the two examples from the point of view of what you can do for descriptive analyses to see what good what questions there are to ask, and what the SMART first-year student procedure is, and the other names it has going forward. The use of LMList is a very useful ingredient of the mixed effects models for descriptive things. Basically, with straight line growth data, we can, for each person, summarize their fit by a rate and a level. Think of the straight line model as smoothing the data points, whether it be 4, 7, or 11. And those become attributes of the person. The alpha hat 1, there's going to be lots of notation. There's no standard notation. Here we use alpha 1 for the rate of a person, alpha 0 for the level. It could be the level at the beginning time, and we'll talk about how to initialize the beginning time. And the any association between those two, people that start out higher grow faster, things like that. And then we also, if we have a background variable, which we're indicating by Z or sometimes W for the exogenous variable, background characteristic, is there some association between that and, say, rate of change? What kinds of people grow fastest? Those are good descriptive analyses that can also be represented in our inferential models. So we'll learn how to do all those sorts of things to get an idea of what the inferential model should tell us before we actually run them. And that's a very good idea. Then we come to two versions of our mixed effects model, the unconditional model and conditional model. The latter, conditional models, have an exogenous variable. Even when you have an exogenous variable, you want to run the unconditional model in order to see what the collection of growth curves is telling you. Then you can add on the question, is there something systematic about individual differences in growth and change? So the two-level formulation for these kinds of models is in the level one model, which models each individual. We have a simple straight line with gradient alpha 1 and level at initial time, which is convenient to set to 0, even if your data set isn't set that way, because that's how the estimation procedures will automatically do it. We have time, y, our outcome, sometimes it's called x, you'll see in the slides. Our observable is a noisy version of the straight line trend. That is, there is some measurement error or obscured by meaning or obscured by measurement. So there is going to be some wobble. So the exact data points won't be exactly on a straight line for any individual person. But both Sleep Study and North Carolina are pretty darn straight. So we have a gradient and we have a level. Level two model for the unconditional model just starts out saying, well, the individual level parameter is just some mean plus a random effect. There's not much going on here. And the gradient, the rate, is some mean over persons in the population plus a random effect. And then we combine those by substitution. And here it's fairly, there's not much substitute to get the fixed effects and the random effects. Fixed effects are things that don't vary over individuals, such as mean level and mean rate. Random effects are things that do vary over individuals, say the deviation of an individual's rate from the overall rate. And we'll look at the empirical Bayes blop shrinkage estimation that's done in these models at the individual level. The conditional model is the next step, and that's asking a question about systematic individual differences in growth. This is the bottom frame of the growth model's handout. Level one, we still summarize the individual by straight line, a constant rate of change model, and the y's are noisy with measurement error epsilon. But level two, we then say there may be systematic individual differences in rates of change and in level. So if you look at the alpha one line in level two here, we have some exogenous variable, maybe verbal score for the North Carolina students, could be home environment, could be a health indicator. And we're interested then in the fixed effects gamma 1-1, which is really the correlation of change and the exogenous variable, or in a regression state, metric here. And we get the estimation model the same way we did in the unconditional model. It's just a little more complicated, where you substitute in for alpha 0, alpha 1, and collect terms. And you can see you get both a z, a t, and a z times t term, which in many packages has a shorthand of z star t, which gives you both main effects, a z and a t, and the interaction. And gamma 1-1 is that product term you get from the substitution. It's the indicator of whether there's association between change and initial status. And that's what you want to test for. By doing the substitution, you see it's the coefficient of this product term, z and t, that you want to see that represents, are there systematic individual differences in change? And that's what we'll walk through in the North Carolina example. That's a quick overview. For some, it may be familiar. For others, it may be, wow. But our job is to make it relatively routine by doing this a good bit. Okay, that's page 5. That's a packed page, but that's basically the whole ballgame in a condensed form. Okay, now back. Okay, continuing this introduction, we have page 6 of the PDF file, which is from almost 40 years ago from talks. And notation has changed, but this describes the basic setup of longitudinal panel data, which is what we're talking about. We have observations, which may have some noise in them, here denoted by X, more often denoted by Y. For each person, they're taken at times, TI, discrete times, for each of N individuals. For the kinds of panel data we deal with, we do not require everybody to be observed at the same times, or that everybody have an equal number of observations. The first data sets we look at happen to be this nice balanced data set, but it is no requirement for the analysis strategy, either descriptive or inferential. So we often in social science say we have T waves of data, waving data, that is number of observations. And we'll come back to that. The measurement model says that the observed X's are a noisy version of some underlying trait, achievement, blood pressure, whatever, that may have some noise. And then so the accurately measured score, or often called the true score, has a reliability coefficient, which is just a relative variance of the perfect measure to the observed measure. That's a signal-to-noise ratio. Growth models are, of course, modeled in terms of the perfectly measured variable. Then the noise comes in at the measurement stage. And so the perfectly measured observations, which you could call latent, I'll try to avoid that word, and any time t is some function of psi and t. A straight line has a simple function. More generally, the logistic function we looked at is another function of that, and we have a collection of growth curves. So on to PDF page 7. For an individual P, growth curve for a single measure is psi P of T. Parameters vary over Pearson's. Straight line growth being the simplest example, where here are the perfectly measured variables have a level at time 0 and then a rate of change theta, could also be called alpha or eta. Those are things we'll use alpha most often. These old slides use theta. For a straight line, you have a constant rate of change. For growth to an asymptote, which we looked at asymptotic growth in week one, you have an asymptote lambda, and you have a curvature parameter gamma, and you grow towards lambda, and your rate of change is proportional to how far you have to go, and there's lots of other growth models. Straight lines are the simplest to start with. PDF page 8 just states our philosophy. Individual trajectory is a key starting point for conceptualization, modeling, and data analysis for looking at these longitudinal panel data. We summarize an individual, and then we ask questions about relationships across individuals. PDF page 9 is taken from another old talk, but it just restates things in a slightly different notation using eta's instead of xi's. We have a constant rate of change, and we are going to be interested in what's typical rate of change and how variable are individuals in the population on the rate of change. Maybe everybody grows at the same rate, maybe they don't. And maybe rates of change depend on some exogenous characteristic, ability, etc. And that's often a question about correlates of change. So at the bottom, we have frames, just examples of a collection of straight line growth curves, which I know the parameterization of, so it's useful to do it. You can see there's individual differences in change. There you can look at typical change, and you can ask, well, some people are growing faster than others. Is there anything associated with that? And the same for exponential growth. Everybody has their own asymptote and rate of improvement. Is there any association between the mastery level of each individual and some background characteristic? PDF page 10 just starts us off. We're going to take a look at descriptive analyses. First off, for fitting the Y on T regressions and then asking questions about the data indications. We've got what's typical, what's heterogeneity, how to display those both in summary statistics and in plots. The two-stage analysis that we're doing goes under very many different names. I called it Smart First Year Student in the 90s when I first started doing this. The Harvard people call it the NIH method because they do lots with NIH, two-stage or two-step analysis. And they have their own words for simple fit a straight line or curve to the response data for each subject, and then regress the estimates of the individual intercept slopes on subject specific covariance, second stage. That's level one and level two models in the mixed effects models. And we do that descriptively to start out. And so that's where the layered Ware and Fitzmaurice book also is part of this description. Another way I've said it is, this is all redundant. In when I wrote the Time Path program in the 90s in SAS, we have individual OLS fits. We describe those, have descriptive statistics, and go on from there to do modeling. Things we're interested in is rate and fitted initial level, relations of rate of change with the exogenous variable, and level in it with an exogenous variable. And those are things, PDF page 13, just another way of saying the same thing. So here we come to really getting started. And I need to take a break here because I have about to get interrupted with the sleep study data. So that's PDF page 14. We'll pick up on that now that I've done multiple sayings of the same thing to get us going. Thank you. I'll be back.